Our God is with us.
And also with you.
This is a story taken from the Gospel of Mark. Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, his home, accompanied by his disciples. And now when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many heard him, and they were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? And what mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter? You know, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place, among his own kin, and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deeds there, apart from curing a few sick by laying on of hands. And he was amazed by their lack of faith. My brothers and sisters, this is the good news of Jesus.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
How many folks here are prophets? Prophetesses. Come on now. I need to see more hands than that. Come on now. We all are. The question is, do we live a prophetic life? Basically, to be a prophet, you need to hear God's voice and follow his directions. Now, that means we don't promote our own personal opinions and perspectives. And that takes some real honesty of self. Amen? The story of Job talks about that anyway. You know, he's supposed to be his prophet. God tells him where to go, and he puts his own stuff in there the whole way of the round. And you see what happens to him. He ends up getting swallowed by a whale, and you know the rest of the story. Even the castor bean plant comes down on him. Because he didn't want to follow the rule, what God was telling him. Dr. Google, y'all know who that is. In religion, a prophet or prophetess is an individual regarded as being in contact with the divine and being the divine being, and is said to speak on behalf of the divine being, serving as an intermediary and delivering messages and teachings. You know, it's not about whether you're left or right, conservative or liberal or progressive. And that ought never be brought into the conversation. When we do that, we're expressing our own opinions. And that's not being prophetic. We need to speak with God, because God's not on one side or the other. God is the God for all of us. So what are the qualities of a prophet? I believe it can be confidently assumed that the better prophets are quiet, thoughtful people. They think about what they're thinking about. That's meta-thinking. They take a look at what it's about. And there's a real fine line of demarcation between ecstasy and insanity. Isn't that what happened to Jesus a couple Sundays ago? He comes home and his family's saying he's crazy. He's nuts. What's he doing all this stuff for? And now he comes home again and they're saying the same thing. He's crazy. A classmate of mine, I was at a 4th of July thing. I hadn't seen him in a long time. And I asked him what he's been doing since retirement. He retired 8 years ago. And he's working down in Finneytown, devoting his time with St. Vincent de Paul. And he said... And I said, "Oh, great, what are you playing?" He says, "Well, I'm the president of St. Vincent de Paul." I said, "Okay," in that conference. And he said, "Now, there's a funny thing about that." He said, "The term of a president is only three years, and then you got to turn it over to somebody else for 3 years. I've been doing it for 8 years." And he said, "Nobody wants to take the position." He said, "They're afraid." They'll go out on a visit to see someone in their house, and they're saying, oh my God, there's poor in our community. And they don't want to see it. And it's, I'll give money to it. But my question is that being prophetic, how we do it in terms of speaking. Today's gospel, where did this man get all this? What kind of knowledge did he have? His brothers and sisters. Jesus in his day was connected to who people did not want to see. He's connected to the poor, to the lepers, to Roman centurions, to tax collectors, to people who we don't want to touch. Theologian Walter Brueggemann said he has demonstrated that what makes a prophet, in addition to their ability to translate unique empathy with the suffering and marginalized communities into a collective action. So we need to have empathy to be one with, but not be in, so that it can be put into action in what we're looking at. And he says, their image they give a counter narrative to the scripts imposed by the political, economic, and military predominance of the state, one state over another. And see, Brueggemann says that's not being political right or left. That's being what we need to do to reach out to others. So, during our sharing of after the homily, if you bring up political stuff, right or left, Democrat, Republican, you're not being prophetic. And that's what it calls us to be. That's what Martin Luther King was saying when he talked. He was talking about us standing up together as one people, all connected, all as one, and to be with that. And that's hard. It's difficult to do that. It's difficult to keep my own prejudices, because we all have those little prejudices. It's difficult to separate those out and to really listen. So, why do I bring that up? Because all of it we're talking about. You know, so often in our society, we're focused on results. Amen? What did Ezekiel say? And God say to Ezekiel, it doesn't matter what they say it to them, and they'll know a prophet's in their midst. The only thing that was important was that the prophet say it. I don't say things to, and what I understand that to be is I don't say things like that to convince you. I say that to say it because I believe that's true. We have a sign on a refrigerator that says, if we agree to disagree, which is what we do oftentimes, we're saying each other are assholes. And what we need to do is go to understand and seek to understanding of others, to understand that, because we come from so many different cultures, so many different places, and unless we understand each other, we're not going to understand the pain we go through. We're not going to be able to have the empathy that we need to have. So, too often, we have come to thinking that being prophetic was all about gloom and doom. This is ugly stuff supposed to happen. I thank Tom Cruise for pointing that out to me this week. Hope I didn't steal too much. But what the prophet is listening to God on how we need to be together, how we need to be one, and challenging those systems. Jesus was doing that in contrast. He was reaching out to outsiders. He was calling the everyday people to that. Now, who are the apostles that he brought his disciples back home? They're looking, you know, what have we made the apostles? We've made them into these priests, these saintly people. They were everyday people like you and me. Everyday people. And that's who he sent out to send the good news to. That we, the everyday people, are the people that need to take that out. So we want to speak in a language of spirit that transcends religion. I want to talk about the politics, but it transcends parties. It's the struggle that we have with crisis that's created out of ignorance and inattention. So when we listen to Martin Luther King, I believe he was a prophet in his day and in our day. He was a man who listened to God. Listen to his words. To cooperate passively with an unjust system makes the oppressed as evil as the oppressor. Our most fruitful course is to stand firm in courageous determination. Move forward non-violently. And non-violent movement forward isn't just talk about fist. It's talking about our tongue. It's talking about our heart. It's talking about being able to love people even when we disagree with them, to seek understanding in them. It's not what's wrong with them, it's what's happened to them. And then he says something other that I think is important for us to hear. Some of us, of course, will die without having received the realization of freedom, but we must continue to sail our charted course. We must accept finite disappointment so that we might have infinite hope. Only this way shall we live without fatigue, of bitterness, and drained resentment. Our political world like that right now, it drains us. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. Martin Luther King was telling us, don't let that bitterness enter. We need to take it out as love. And how do we do that? 2 years ago at the Pride event, there was a bunch of folks on the street, and they were carrying these signs about the negative stuff about LGBTQ folks. You're going to hell and all that. There were angels at that setting. And what the angels were, they were all dressed in white, and they had these huge banners that went up in the air, and they all stood around those people so nobody could see them. That's being prophetic. Now, those same folks, they saw what happened last year, so you know what they did? They brought signs that went up 20 feet in the air. So you know what happened at the Pride event? There were a number of people that had motorcycles who were in the park, and the people were chanting these sayings. They start revving their motorcycles so they couldn't be heard. Being prophetic. That's powerful. You know, speaking from in the language of Christian tradition we all come from, we need to take a look at how we speak our stories and believe that it's a common language. Our task is to face a larger reality because it's in regard to empire. It's in regard to our economics that we all participate in. It's in regard to ecology. It's not a new path. It's one we've been going on for a long time. The road is traveling to a cliff, and we need to know that we're close to that edge. But it doesn't mean we quit hope or being prophetic about who we are as people. It's doing those little things like revving a motorcycle. You know, this year at the Pride, there were more people there, more booths up and down the street, so much so that they had to shut it down. They couldn't take any more people. That's living in hope in what it's about. Sometimes we'll say, we need to imagine our future is not secured by protection of power, but through peace. Now that's crazy. But we need to see that peace and nonviolence is the way we need to project into the future. Martin Luther King says, when we don't do that, when we're violent, we're hurting ourselves. And that's not what it's about. And then the other thing that comes in our mind, there was a thing on Wiseau that he had about the mind, about the voices that come into ours. And the voices many times are negative voices. You can't do it. You're not going to be able to make it. I think that comes into us sometimes with being a prophet. That who am I to be a prophet? Well, what about Amos? When he said to Amaziah, who was the king, I am no prophet and I'm not a prophet's son, but I am just a herdsman, a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said, go prophesy to my people. He heard it, and the same one speaking to us. You might say that, you know, I don't seek any such calling. Neither Jeremiah. Jeremiah told God, I don't know how to speak. God didn't buy that excuse. He goes, go speak, I'll give you the words. With that. Ezekiel, in today's reading, he said, it isn't about results. Speak, and they will know that a prophet has been in their midst. That's what we're about. Listening to MLK speak in our time, we must resign ourselves to oppression? No. Of course, that's blasphemous. We need to move on with hope that we can and will change the world because we are being prophetic, not by my opinions, but by listening to the Spirit. We need to speak those words, and we need to live those words. So, yeah, there are going to be many obstacles. Ezekiel walked that way. MLK walked that way. Jesus walked that way. And many prophets since in and now. All the prophets of past ages and today's age, we shall overcome. 2 years ago, we started talking about having our journey to understanding. And a couple of the topics that we had in there were challenging topics about what does it mean to be trans? What does it mean to be able to talk? Why good people disagree on language and on politics and in our words. And we went to the University of Dayton and we asked them for support. And they said, well, we can't really give you support. And we were really disappointed by that. This past Tuesday a week ago, they dedicated a room to LGBT community. And it's a beautiful room that they had. And it was fortunate that I sat down, I don't know how it happened, but I sat down next to a person who was in charge of diversity and the spirituality of the program. And she said, I know you somewhere. And says, were you the one that were talking about our journey to understand and we couldn't support you? And I said, yeah. And she said, we were in the middle of something that took 4 years to develop that we could have that room. And we had to bring people along. We had to bring the president along. And the president had to come saying, yeah, this makes sense. And we had to go to each board member and talk to each board member about what we're doing with this room. And they said, yes, we need to do it. And he says, now during Pride Month this month, we had all kinds of stuff about Pride up. And people said, I thought you were Catholic University. And he said, but we're supported by others. Now, we were disappointed but didn't know that they were in that whole process. In some ways, we got judgmental. I know I did. And I didn't take the time to seek to understand. It was, we'll agree to disagree. And so you know what that made me. And so sometimes we don't always know what those things are. To be a prophet means I need to take time to meditate. I need to take time to pray. I need to be open to the voice of the Spirit speaking to me at all times. And sometimes that voice, I've never heard it in words, but many times it comes from someone coming up and saying something to me. I go, oh, where'd that come from? The Spirit. Someone will come up and challenge me about something. Well, where'd that come from? The Spirit. I come into something that's difficult. Where'd that come from? So, the things I ask today is, how many of us write our congressmen? Or call our congressmen? Whether they're Republican or Democrat, they still are part of who we are. And we can't condemn them, because we don't always know and understand. So, I ask you today, in our sharing, would you be able to point out people who have been prophetic in your life? maybe how you've been prophetic to others. Because when we hear about other people being prophetic, it encourages us to be prophetic, to us to speak out in that way. And that's the way we begin to change the world. I go to the prison, and in this present class, she's taken the class a second time. She said, when I met her in the first class, she said, I'm just a horrible mother. And I said, well, tell me about it. And she said, well, my 15-year-old son won't talk to me. And we went through and talked about what that meant. And in the course, we talk about seeking first to understand and to ask questions more. And she started doing some of that. And she told her mother, the grandmother, to get out of the room because I just want to talk to my son. And the kid kind of fell off. And now the kid waits for the calls. And now the 11-year-olds, can I talk to mom? And I told the ladies, I says, we change the world one person at a time. You've affected your child. That was being prophetic. And all of a sudden, another child. And she said, her cousin now said, could I get some calls from you from prison? That's one person at a time that each one of us are called to do. And what we got to understand is that the Spirit will lead us and guide us. But we need to be listening. I ask you to come and share your experiences of the Spirit.